All right, Alec, how's it going?
It's cold. It's cold on the mountain tonight.
The cold never bothered me anyway.
Yeah, that's
So,
true. Actually, yeah, I mean, it does bother me sometimes.
we're going
I'm gonna be
into
honest.
uncharted territory, into the unknown with Frozen
Yeah.
2. Never talked about
It's
the long
rough.
history of Frozen franchise yet on this channel.
The long history, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, cat.
So maybe we should start out with
So.
what were your thoughts on Frozen? The first.
So okay, this is one of my favorite anecdotes, like about seeing movies. I went and saw Frozen. I was a senior in college. I went back to school early, like I think it was like a week and a half early for I was in the Mikado, which is a Gilbert and Sullivan musical. So I was in the school's
Course.
production of that, so I had to go back early for rehearsals, and we got done kind of early one night. And I don't really remember like what exactly. I remember I was thinking, I was like, I'm gonna go see Frozen at some point, I guess, or something. And I was just sort of like I want to go see it. It's a Disney movie. It's still in theaters around here, so sure. This is like 6 weeks after the movie came out, maybe 7 weeks after the movie came out. It's in the beginning of January. The movie's been out since towards the end of November, and all I had heard about it was someone said, "Yeah, I saw it. It was pretty good. I really liked it." I go into the theater, and this is like a large theater, one of the larger theaters I've ever been to. This theater was packed. Like, there were seats, but there weren't many seats. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of people. I don't remember what day of the week it was either. I feel like it was in the middle of the week, but it could have been a weekend. I don't really remember. But I was just like, wow, there's a lot of people here. I was like, that's kind of surprising. Like, this movie's been out for a while. You'd think people had gone and seen it already.
Yeah,
And
the hype has not died down yet.
the height, I was like, wow, that's really impressive. And then I saw the movie, and I understood why, because it was really good.
All right.
I was so super impressed with it. I mean, I was just like, oh man, this must be like a Radio Disney hit or something, because like there were a couple teenage girls. I had to sit in the front. Normally, I like sitting kind of in the middle, maybe kind of close to the front, but more in the middle front. But for this, I had to sit, like, it was like the second or third row I had to sit in, because there just wasn't really that much room behind me.
Exactly.
And yeah, there was like teenage girls sitting in front of me, and they were like singing the song. They didn't sing very much of it. They only sang part of the songs. Hello, Cattail. And I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I was just blown away. I like how good the movie was. I remember the Let It Go sequence, which, Let It Go is obviously now like reached complete global saturation.
Saturation, yes.
To complete Resident Evil 5, to quote Resident Evil 5, has complete global saturation. But at that point, like, that was brand new territory for me, and I was stunned. I mean, I still am in awe of that animated sequence. I love that. That whole sequence is great.
Oh, it's such a good song.
And it's a great song. It really is a great song. And yeah, I love that movie. So I took a friend to see it, because he hadn't seen it yet either. Like maybe a week or a week and a half later. And then I went and saw it again.
All
All right.
right.
Yeah, it's enough. That's it. It's enough. It's enough. You off my lap. Off my lap. Sorry, bud. But yeah, and then on campus there was a they showed it again when it came out on Blu-ray. So there was like a campus event where they showed it, and that packed the whole house too. There was a whole auditorium at school that was just completely full. And
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I really love the movie. I didn't thankfully have young girls in my life very much.
Good.
My nieces all live down in Virginia, so I don't have to worry about hearing that song all the time. And I didn't, so because of that, I'm kind of like the Napoleon Dynamite example I've used in different videos. I haven't gotten that sick of it. I mean, Let It Go,
Right.
yeah, you hear it to a point, and you're like, all right. But I haven't heard it, particularly now that it's been a few years removed. I'm glad they took a little time to make this movie. They didn't rush a sequel out. They did all the movies that were in production. Obviously, a sequel was going to come, though. It was just a smash hit, global hit. And, yeah, so I really like Frozen. I really like the original movie a lot. Your Frozen history.
Well, I thought it was good. So let's get into this movie.
Cool. No. I'm glad I just blew smoke for...
I was blown away by the music in particular. Like, I thought the movie was great, but not outstanding. Just, like, as a movie itself, I was like, this is a great movie. But, I mean, the music pushes it to the next level. And that's something that, like, I continue to enjoy after the movie. Yeah.
The minute I left the theater, I went to the nearest Target. I had to go shopping anyways. Uh-huh. And I bought the soundtrack immediately.
Yeah.
I was like, this soundtrack is just so good. It's basically a Broadway musical that they made into a Disney movie, which they then made into a Broadway musical. So there you go. The songwriters have history on Broadway. They did Avenue Q, which is not for kids. Do you know Avenue Q?
No.
It's basically adult Sesame Street.
Oh, okay.
Songs such as Everyone's a Little Bit Racist, The Internet is for Porn, and so on and so forth.
Oh, cool.
It's very funny. It's also not for children.
All right, so going into Frozen 2,
mm-hmm.
I heard, like, when I heard that it was coming out, I was kind of disappointed. I felt like Frozen should have been a standalone. I feel like it was a special thing by itself, and one that should have kind of remained untouched. And an interesting thing that was pointed out to me that I didn't really even think about until now was that, oh, this is like a Disney princess movie that got a sequel, which is not the thing to do other than direct to VHS ones in the past. Like, that's never really a thing that happened. So it's
the,
like,
first time it's happened, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I know Frozen was a phenomenon, but I didn't really think it was necessary. There was nowhere else they really needed to go. So what did you think? Were you excited for a sequel?
Marginally. I kind of am with you. I feel the pull of the traditionalist, where you should have a standalone film. You don't need a sequel for everything. Little nods to it here and there, like they had Frozen Fever, and then there was like Olaf's Frozen Adventure or something like that. So they did like Frozen material and like little shorts, and those are great. Yeah, I mean, I was kind of like, of course they're going to make a sequel. It was very popular. But I was just kind of like, I didn't know exactly where it was going to go. And the trailers that I saw, I only saw one, maybe two. And they didn't really give very much away. So I was kind of like, hey, I'm up for seeing where this is going. It looks like they're going to a different sort of location, a more colorful location. So I'm down for that. So I didn't really know exactly what to expect going into the movie. Do you want me to delve into kind of general thoughts before we move into spoilers?
Yeah, sure.
I really enjoyed this movie a lot. A lot more than I think I may have even given credit that I was going to enjoy. A lot of choices that felt like natural for a sequel. I guess maybe to an extent where it, like, I don't want to say it felt predictable, because I was satisfied by it. So I didn't feel it was predictable, but to me, it ended up going in directions that felt more satisfying than where we ended up in the original Frozen. And that was what I was surprised by, how much I liked that. I think they explored different themes and ideas in this one. It wasn't just rehashing the same. That can be something particularly in the Disney sequels, which I've watched very few of, because the ones I've watched are so bad you don't want to watch anymore. But a lot of times they just kind of double down on the themes and they don't really say anything new or interesting. I think this one had different, more grown-up feeling plot lines than the first one did. Not saying that the first one didn't have themes that could reach an older audience, because obviously it did. We went and saw this movie.
Yeah.
We're 20-something men. So obviously there was something in the original Frozen that spoke to us enough for us to want to go see a sequel. Even if only marginally. And I was surprised at how much I enjoyed this movie and how much I think it rivals its predecessor in my mind.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So how about you? How about you?
I thought it was just okay.
Okay.
Honestly, I was like, it pains me to say it because after I watched it, I went and like watched interviews and stuff, and the cast is like really, really passionate about it. And then they talked about like some of the writing process they did and how like purposeful and how careful they handled the story and everything. But I just, after seeing it, I was not really a fan of the plot. Just kind of.
Well, you said you didn't even really like the plot of the first one.
I thought it was great. I thought it was great. I just didn't think it was the best thing ever. I just thought the music was what elevated it the most for me originally. But this one, I don't know, there was something about the plot that didn't feel like it was as strong as the first one in terms of, like, I wasn't a huge fan of the whole spirit thing. It felt kind of like a watered-down Avatar, in a way, The Last Airbender.
Well, that was what I was worried that would happen, and I don't think that did really happen. Okay. I was incredibly... When they brought that up... So we're still trying to stay as general as we can, but when they brought up the idea of elements, which they have shown in the trailer, when they brought that idea up, I was very frightened that it would go in a direction where I was like, oh no, don't tell me that this is going to turn into Elsa's like the Avatar or something like that. And it doesn't do that. It doesn't do that, and I'm very happy about it. That right, it doesn't do that. So, shall we get into spoilers now?
Yeah.
So, now we can spoil it. So, if you haven't seen this movie, skip to the end. You'll see our grades. But now we're going to delve full spoilers. So, if you don't want to be spoiled by this movie, do not watch any further. Skip to the timestamp. Yada, yada, yada.
Okay, please tell me what's so good about this plot, because I'm like...
I'm lost, man.
I felt like there was no... So I'm watching Elsa go follow this voice the whole time, and then when she gets in there, she starts like just dying. She's like dying before going too far. What is this arbitrary value of too far? And then, of course, her going too far and initiating her death frozen sequence triggers a message to go back to Anna, which tells her that okay, your sister's dying because she went too far into the past. And then Olaf is dying. I knew as soon as he was dying, I'm like, he's just going to come back. So I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we know that as seasoned filmgoers.
Well,
but I can tell you that I heard small children behind me that were not very happy in the audience. And I was like, and particularly since it lingers on that idea for a long time. And I think that that's incredibly effective. Like, we have a whole song where Anna is basically like, there's no hope, but I have to still keep going anyways. And I was like, oh my goodness.
That
song is so effective.
Like, I'm about to succumb to the darkness. Like, I'm about to just, like, give up on life right now.
Yeah, it was great. I was like, this is pretty dark for a kids movie.
Why does Elsa get punished for going too far? And why is it too far? And why does she, like, start dying for it?
Because that's what the poem says, man.
That's what the poem says?
Yeah, that's what the poem says. Well, no, it's because it's like any fairy tale, there's a consequence for trying to see too much or tempting fate too much. It's like if you try to... There are some things... You know, deep secrets that you're not intended to see.
She didn't. And know she wasn't intended into. To.
Yes, she did.
She heard her voice.
But she remembered that. She even talked about that saying ahead of time, and you see her hesitate, but she jumps in anyways because she's like, "Well, maybe I'll just go in for a quick frostbite."
But no,
I knew when she did that, and she was sealing her fate. Yeah, no, I knew when she was going in. I was like, something bad's going to happen when she goes down in there. She's either going to see something real bad, or she's going to get frozen again, and like Anna did, or both.
And tell me, why does she have to be a spirit?
Tell me why.
Why is she the fifth spirit?
What do you mean, why? The whole movie's about why.
Yeah, why
what do you
is
mean
that a
why?
thing? Yeah, because we have Earth. Well, we have Earth, water, wind,
Yeah.
fire, Elsa.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. It's
She, I
like,
mean, okay, I guess she kind of is the Avatar, but
that's the
I was
Avatar,
expect,
yeah.
but no, hold on. I was expecting it to be way stupider than that. I almost thought like, oh, now she's gonna like literally be the Avatar and like have all of the elements as well as ice or something. Like that's what I was afraid of it going to.
She is the bridge. They said she's the bridge
Yeah,
between the worlds.
and that's yeah, and that's yeah, that's
And
fine.
the elements
Yeah,
are the
that's fine.
spirits. That's literally the Avatar
Right.
in
Okay.
like
But I mean, well,
sped up.
I was expecting it or scared that it would be dumber than that. I ended up being pretty satisfied in where it ended up. I was expecting it to be way dumber than that.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, okay. Here's the thing. Elsa is the only person in this world of Frozen, this Swedish Wonderland. It's the Scandinavian snowscape place. It's not really always a snowscape. There's different seasons, but she's the only person who's like that in this whole
Yeah.
area.
Is
I
it?
can if you're it, the first movie ends fine because she understands that, family is what's important. Her love with her sister, that's what will ultimately keep the heart from freezing, so to say. That'll keep things warm between each other. But it's not really a satisfying ending for her as a character. Not really. I mean, ultimately, it's like, okay, but she's still this magic queen with a bunch of nobodies,
Yeah.
in the sense that like no one else is magical. She doesn't have anyone she can really relate to, other than her close family. Parents are still dead, so there's still unresolved tension there. I'm glad they really delved into a lot of that stuff. That was really effective, both of them dealing with the loss of their
At
parents.
least they have their parents. Their parents are dead.
What?
That's my favorite.
Oh yeah.
Olaf.
I think this is a more interesting angle and a more satisfying ending for both sisters, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Because like instead of like, and then Elsa just rules as queen forever and Anna's just second fiddle, but at least she is a man, so there's that.
But she, yeah.
And like I don't mean to take away the ending of the first movie as saying it's not good, because I think it's great. But I think now that we've seen a second movie, I think this concludes with the characters being in a far more satisfying, a more meaningful place for both of them than had we not had a sequel. And we'd be fine without a sequel. I like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Was this really the most necessary movie ever? Not really. Is it gonna make Disney billions of dollars? Probably. I enjoyed this movie, and I think I will. I mean, I do kind of agree with you that the plot feels like it's there's a couple times where it sort of feels like it's kind of meandering a little bit, but whenever Elsa gets drawn to the voice again, I think that's when it starts picking up again. It's like her being drawn to this voice is, to me, such an interesting hook for a movie, particularly because it's like she already has this sense that she's part of this bigger thing. She has these powers. She's blessed by something, by someone,
Yeah.
somehow. And this is like her journey of discovery as to where this came from, more or less. You make it. I don't know, the way you sort of criticize it made it sound like, well, why? Why does she have to be that way? But it's like the whole idea is that it's a blessing from. It's more or less like a blessing from the spirits because their mother and father come. One who has in touch with nature, they can't control the natural magics of the world, but they can. They're in tune with it. And someone who is not, the two people who oppose each other, two enemies, come together. The spirits essentially bless that. That's a such an old sounding, like old myth kind of sort of story is like that's the genesis of a miracle child. That's the genesis of of someone who has a special gift in a fantasy realm. And I like the fact that they explored why that happened and you know, explored her a little bit more as a character rather than just her inner conflict. It was more about her conflict's resolved, but there's still a yearning for something more. Yeah. I don't know. I found it particularly satisfying.
Okay.
Well. But I can understand the way you've explained it, I can understand why you might not necessarily be satisfied with it.
It is. I found it was a little weird. There was no central opposing force in this movie either. And like, it doesn't have to be a villain necessarily, but it was almost like it was just her. The entire thing was her following this voice, and there was nothing opposing her. And then at the end, it was like a catch-22. It's like, oh, you went too far. And then it just didn't feel as satisfying as a plot.
It's kind of a man against nature. Nature is the villain in this movie. It's not necessarily a right because it's supposed to be the spirits more or less. I don't want to say they rebelled, but they basically made it so that no one can really have benefit. No one's going to enjoy we're going to curse the forest. Basically, you know, everyone's going to be who's left here is trapped here for all time. And no one will be granted access to it. It's out of bounds.
Right.
You guys broke your bond that you were gonna make. So it's the villain is man against nature, but it's also man against the past. I think dealing with the problems and coming to terms with the past. That's one thing that I wish the movie had done a little bit more and a little bit better is delving with the fact that, yeah, your grandfather was kind of the reason that this whole thing happened. That all these characters are in this predicament now. I mean, ultimately why their mother and father are dead and all kinds of different things, you know? So, if you want to, like, really come down to it, that's kind of why. Because then they wouldn't have had to stay away, and they wouldn't have had to if the natural world was all still fine and dandy, if magic was still all cool and all the elements were all jiving with everybody, then I mean they wouldn't have a need to hide Elsa because she's a gift for the world more or less.
So yeah, I don't want to be overly negative about this movie. I just want to get the last couple of points of criticism out there. So makes the I felt like the forest is being the central thing that, like, they're trying to kind of, like, free the forest. That felt like it didn't have as much weight because we had these characters that we knew for a couple minutes that just felt like they were thrown in there just so you could have, like, some sort of stake in it. Because they're like, oh, well, we have no reason to really care about this forest because we're just kind of introduced to it. So let's introduce these characters. I forget what that woman's name was. It was, like, a weird...
The older woman and the
younger woman, whatever she had a weird name.
Oh, I see. I don't even honey clover. Honey clover was the younger woman who got probably like she probably got four lines in the whole movie.
And then you had she was Ryder. Basically nobody. You had Ryder, who of course is helping Kristoff in his essential marriage proposal.
Oh yeah, he also gets like three lines in the whole movie. Yeah.
Yeah, but and then you have the older woman. And these are the ones that we're caring about in this forest.
Yeah, I like the older man and the older woman. Sterling K. Brown is just what I'm gonna call him because I don't remember his name. And it's just
what the lieutenant guy.
Yeah,
I love that.
I like him a lot.
He's my favorite. He's my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, he's the guy you care about, and I think the elderly woman you kind of sort of care about her a little bit.
I mean, a little bit, but I only like the lieutenant because he's like he's got great comedic timing, and he's a great personality, but it's like we knew these characters for a couple minutes, and it's like this is the big thing we're trying to save. And then I did feel like after watching the first Frozen, I never thought like, wow, I need to see Kristoff planning his marriage proposal to Anna. I can't wait to see this unfold and how stressed out he's gonna be about getting this marriage proposal.
That was like the best part of the movie.
What, the proposal itself or all the trials and tribulations?
No, the song.
Oh, well, the song. I love the song, yeah.
That song, I had this expression on my face the entire time that song was going on. I was like, I can't believe they're doing this. It's a 90s pop song, like straight up just a 90s pop song and a 90s pop song music video animated.
Yeah, I love the song.
And it was great.
Yeah.
I loved every second of that. That was hysterical.
But that's a separate entity from the plot. The music is a whole thing.
Well, I mean, okay, but here's the Christoph to me is like one of the most relatable, like,
that's because he's the guy there. You can't relate.
Sure.
To
Sure, I mean, yeah, but he's also like, I don't know. He's just like down to earth and
right.
kind of a doofus, but also like knows what's up. I like him a lot. He was great. I mean, yeah. When I saw Frozen, I wasn't thinking, man, Frozen 2 better have the proposal, you know, nerves trying to. But.
I can't wait to see that develop. But, I mean, it just felt like that's kind of what Christoph was reduced to in this movie. It was just like, is this a side gag? Like, let's go, let's cut back to Christoph trying to figure out this proposal and get it right. But you know he's not going to get it right until the very end. He's going to keep messing it up.
I mean, I didn't necessarily know that, but sure.
Well, I mean, after the first couple of times messing up, I was like, okay, he's not going to get this down into, like, a climax of the movie. It'll be great.
But he's a Disney prince who's not, you know, if you want to be all modern and politically correct about it, he's a Disney prince who doesn't save the woman, and she Anna don't need no saving, and
okay,
Christoph yeah. doesn't need to save her. He just helps her, and isn't that just sweet?
Well, but so yeah, you, wait, honestly, do you I not believe that? Like, or
no, I do. I'm just framing it in a humorous way. I actually do really like that.
He's not a toxic masculinity kind of prince. You know?
Yeah, he's
not afraid to go into the 80s rock.
Except like.
Song.
Yeah, except like none of the Disney princes are toxic masculinity.
That's true. Well, yeah.
At all. Like I mean like Gaston is the humorous is like toxic masculinity like just the character. I mean, and that's the whole point. He's a send up of like what Disney princes like actually would have been like, rather than, because they're all basically, all the older ones are more or less blank slates.
yeah.
The most interesting Disney prince is Philip, because he kills the dragon, and he's like, you know, he's a big hero. But all the other ones are like, I am man, handsome man.
Yes, pretty boy.
In your life now, I am pretty man in your life, and that's basically the whole character. So
I'll give Christoph credit for that. Sven was more present in this movie. Hit a little bit of a singing part.
He randomly sang that one time, like, yeah. It was kind of like, are we seeing inside? Yeah, that was basically like, I guess we're seeing inside of Christoph's mind now. And then we really did see inside Christoph's mind, which is a 90s pop song music video, and it was great.
I thought Olaf had some great moments.
Olaf retelling the first Frozen was like one of my, was great.
Yeah.
Like, legitimate laughs, you know.
Yeah, that was great. I do feel like most of the movie maybe is like a couple notches too much, like overboard Olaf.
Mm-hmm. Cute new lizard though, that cute fire lizard.
Yes, of course, the fire spirit lizard.
Oh,
my favorite Frozen character.
I just wanted to hug him. He's just a little boy. He's like a little Pokemon.
Yes,
I wanted him.
My favorite character is Earth giant rock monsters.
Yeah, they're cool.
They're my favorite.
Yes, best character
also,
in the movie.
Gale. Classic Gale.
Classic Frozen character, Gale. I was going to say classic Frozen character. You know, I almost started laughing near the end of the movie, because, you know, when they, when they like, are revealing the statue of their parents, and I was like, I just, in my head, I imagined they made a statue of their grandfather. I don't know why, but in my mind I was like, you know, that would be really funny if they did, if they bring it down and it's like, and there's our grandfather who tried to slay all the people in touch with nature.
Yeah, I just said, stab, just that, like,
really humorous about that. Yeah, kill that guy.
Stab that dude in the back, like a real villain.
While he's drinking tea.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about the fact, like, all these people are clapping, and it's like, I just imagine they told them no context, and it's just like, boy and girl statue.
Yeah, there's no context. Like, there was no, like, ceremony or, like, and this is the unveiling of this is happening day. They just all gathered here, like, oh, the queen's gathering us here.
Well, yeah, it's a boy and a girl. So the music overall.
Yeah, music overall.
I would say not definitely. I mean, Frozen is, like, an amazing gem of music. I feel like it's not at that level, but there's still some great songs in here.
I think I'm more complicated on Frozen now, the soundtrack now. I still think it's a great soundtrack, the original. I still think it's a great soundtrack. I think reanalysis of older Disney films, especially like Tangled, beat for beat, they go head to head. Because I think Tangled has what's that one song in the like the bar that they're singing, like the guys all sing or whatever. I don't like that song at all. I think that song's awful. But then I also think Fixer Upper is. I don't like it.
She's a bit
it.
Of a fixer upper. That's a minor
that
thing.
And that's the song.
Their quote engagement is a flex arrangement. And by the way, I don't see no
ring.
I don't see no ring.
Yeah. I mean, it's who, fun, who but I also it? Don't. But I also don't really like it that much.
Also, they really just put in a rock. What are they? The rock trolls. They just put them in there as a nice cameo. It's like, you watch after Arendelle, we're going to be away. Like, all right, got it. We're the rock trolls from the first movie.
Bye-bye, boys! Yeah. So, yeah, it's gone. I don't want to say it's not as good now. But, like, it's sort of like my love for the original Frozen soundtrack has kind of, like, decreased a little bit over time. And I think this one rivals it. And one of the reasons why I thought the soundtrack was so great, one of the reasons that I enjoyed it as much as I did, has almost nothing to do with the movie itself. It has more to do with the fact that, despite the fact that a couple of songs have the potential to be like the showstopper, there's no Let It Go showstopper in this movie.
There's clearly one that they want to be a Let It Go, though.
There is, but it's not. And I actually really like that. I felt like... You might disagree, and I mean Disney themselves might disagree.
I will disagree.
They might be trying to make
already.
It to make it okay. They might be trying to make that the Let It Go, but I don't think I didn't take it as them trying to compete, because you can't compete with that soundtrack. Mm-hmm. I take it as, okay, we can't beat Let It Go. We'll have a song similar to it. We'll have songs similar to it. There was another song that was kind of like had the same kind of. Same kind of a jive to that. Had the potential to be like a show-stopping tune, but nothing tries to be that. And I think because of that, we're not going to see the level of saturation that Let It Go had with any of the songs in this movie, and that is okay with me, because to me that's just going to make the soundtrack more enjoyable over time. I think
for sure.
That almost had nothing to do with the movie itself. That was just something that I thought about while I was watching it, and that was something that made me just appreciate all the songs that much more, honestly.
Do you have a particular favorite song that stands out to you?
I don't remember all the song names. Favorite song is Kristoff. Oh, I mean, that was just...
You like that?
That was
the best.
Like, it's not only was it funny, like, the whole sequence was just hysterical. Like, I loved it, and I almost couldn't believe they were doing it. The song itself was actually really good.
Yeah. So. And, like, I was trying to like on my way to work, to and from work, because I didn't have any other time today. I was trying to listen to more of the soundtrack to get my memory jogged, but I didn't get through all of them. I would have liked to be able to listen to it more, to be more familiar with it. But I remember that one being great.
Into the Unknown is a good song too. I really like that.
I'm kind of partial to Into the Unknown, as basic as that is, because you know that's the one they wanted you to like.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a reprise of that. Yeah. So
yes, and there's a Panic at the Disco cover of Into the Unknown.
And then Weezer covers Kristoff's song.
Oh,
I was so confused. Yeah, they in the credits. I was so confused. I was like, okay, so we got like Panic at the Disco and Weezer. I was like,
I thought Panic at the Disco was great. I don't think I stayed for the Weezer.
For the Weezer, yeah. I thought it was just weird. I was like, did I? I don't know. It was funny to me because it was like, not the band, not the groups I would have expected to be singing those songs. Like, yeah. I think the first movie had, what was her name that covered Let It Go in the first soundtrack? It's her version of it.
Demi Lovato.
Demi Lovato, yeah. Like, I expected like a Disney Channel type of person, but no, instead we got Weezer, a band from the 90s that like just kind of recently came back into the public eye. They covered something like really popular. Did they cover Bohemian Rhapsody or something like that?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it was Bohemian Rhapsody. They covered something. I don't know. They covered something, and it was, everyone's like, it's Weezer. And I was like, yeah, it's Weezer. Okay. I like Weezer, but...
Weezer as fuck.
But it was strange. That was an... I was... I don't want to say I didn't like it, because I did, but I thought it was weird. The fact that it was like Panic at the Disco and Weezer are covering the Disney songs at the end of the movie.
Yeah. But I do think the whole cast of Frozen did a great job with their...
Mm.
Not only the voices, but the songs, they're all great. Like, Kristoff never got a song in the first one, so it was cool. He did a great job in this one.
Right.
And then, you know, obviously Anna and Adele Dazeem did a great Into the Unknown.
Well, no, Kristoff's got Reindeer Are Better Than People.
Reindeer Are Better Than People. Sven.
Sven, don't you think that's right?
Oh, God. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, but this is the first real cover, song, I mean.
First real song he got, yeah. He got a good one. He got his own song.
Yeah, and I mean, I really like, just from the interviews I watched, they all seem like a great, fun cast, too. They all really enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And they're into it. What, like, because the thing I was blown away by was Kristen Bell, who plays Anna. She was talking about how the writer was, like, leading up to the movie and all this time that they've been working on it, she would, like, journal from the perspective of Elsa, like, every day, like, what Elsa's doing to, like, get into the mind of the character. She would actually, like, journal every day. What would Elsa be doing right now and talking about? And, like, oh, that's
hardcore. That's cool. That's actually an interesting way to write. Get in the head of your character. Like on a minute-to-minute basis. That's pretty cool.
So I was like, wow, I didn't think there was that much care put into it, you know?
Particularly when I saw it.
I thought it was awful.
There was...
I was like, damn, they really sold out on this one. But that's what I really appreciated about it. This was like, the concept of like Frozen 2, just thinking about it, I was like, oh, that's a money grab for sure. And, like, you'd think the cast is just like, all right, well, more money, let's get on board. But they're all like, no, the writers took their time and didn't rush into it. And it's like, even when people were like, you got to make a sequel, they're like, no, we're not ready yet. We don't know what we want to do. We want to find what's right for the characters. And it was cool.
So is there going to be a Frozen 3?
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting at least 6 Frozen movies.
Frozen 6?
Sure.
the undiscovered country.
And Elsa will have a great ballad in that one. It'll be great.
She'll fight against an old Klingon while they're trying to form a union during the Space Cold War.
Mm-hmm. Pity and, hot.
And then it'll be a really great scene where they're hidden and they'll see, I can see you, Kirk. Can you see me? Sorry, I'm delving back into Star Trek. It's very late.
Sure.
And I like that movie a lot. Anyway.
Right. So...
I think that's pretty much it. So, what would you rate this movie?
I mean, I'll say my opinion has gone up in this discussion. I'm always up to being enlightened.
Okay.
But it's still not going to be that high. I have to think about... it's better than Detective Pikachu.
What? Those are like completely different movies. How do you compare them?
It's better than Detective Pikachu, so I can't rate it lower than Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, I guess it was, but...
Is it
I don't even remember what I gave
it. Is it better than A New Hope, though? I don't think so. I will give it...
oh no, you're letting everyone know that our rating system doesn't matter that much.
Shoot.
Between movies.
Oh, it does. I directly compare everything.
I mean, it kind of
does. Is it better than the Starbomb album? Yes. I'm really torn, but I'm between two scores.
I'll throw one out there for you. I'll throw one out there for you. I'll give it an 8.5.
8.5? That's so expected.
Really? Oh, okay. I mean, it's not a perfect movie. I'm still debating in my mind whether or not I like it as much as the original Frozen. The 8.5 would indicate that I don't. I'd give Frozen like a 9 or a 9.5. I think there's, I mean, this obviously, like a lot of sequels, was this really needed? Not really. But did I enjoy myself? Absolutely. And did I think it was I entertained? Yes. Did I have a good time? Yes. Did I think the movie production values and everything else was great? Absolutely. I really enjoyed it. I mean, there's not really that much holding me back from it, other than the fact that, I mean, kind of like you've said, it's, you know, the lack of a central villain is a little bit of a weakness. I think there's more to it than that. I like the fact that there's not really like a Hans twist, because like that was a cool twist. Yeah. I like the fact the movie did that. I'm glad they didn't try to do anything like that again. They went in a completely different route with it. Where the conflict was more of interpersonal, inter-characters, and stuff like that. So, I'm trying to stay vague about it, because this is ratings, so. But, I really liked it, and, I enjoyed myself.
I will give it a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay.
And, my opinion has gone up on the movie, and this time we discussed it.
Oh, what was it going to be? A 7 or 6.5 or something?
It was
going
to be a 4.5 initially.
Oh, no.
It was going to be a 7 is what I was at.
Okay.
But okay. It's like, okay, I see it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be on the wrong side of history here. But, no, I still don't. I'm not a huge fan of the plot. It wasn't that engaging to me. And I really didn't like how they kept... They were going to play charades again, even though clearly Elsa did not enjoy it the first time. But she's like, oh, come on, Friday night, we got charades again. Didn't like that.
Well, that's, she didn't like it. She it was just not that into she was distracted. She was distracted.
No, that's how she
voice.
Was every night. Every charades night, I'm sure that's how she acted. She was like, here's a dragon.
Or she was just distracted by the voice.
Yeah,
the whole point. Yeah, which is apparently a digital voice. That wasn't a real... That's not a real...
I don't like that.
I said the voice was Aurora.
Yeah.
Which is a digital voice.
That's what that is? Oh.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know what Aurora is. I saw Aurora, but I was like, oh.
Now, here was a big opportunity for Disney to have Miku in this movie, and they didn't do it. They could have had a darling Vocaloid in this movie, and they decided not to, and they said with some other synthetic voice. How dare they?
Aurora.
How dare they?
Because, like, I saw it in the music videos, like, on YouTube. It was like, Idina Menzel, Aurora. I'm like, what the hell is Aurora? She did the, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's a digital voice. Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure.
If I see Frozen again, I will riot. If there's a Frozen 3, I will not be...
There really doesn't need to be. I think this is it's a very satisfying conclusion to the character's story arc. The first one was 2. This one, I think even more so. Leave it alone.
Well, you're just going to say that alone. Once Frozen 3 comes out again, you'll be this one's an even better ending.
I don't think I will. I think this to me is like, okay, leave it alone. You're fine. Lightning didn't quite strike twice, but it almost did. It was like really close to the same spot. So that's fine. Leave it at that. You don't need to...
Toy Story 4 never should have happened, and you really enjoyed Toy Story 4. So
I did.
I'm ready
right.
for Frozen 3 to come out, and you're going to give it a 9.5 out of 10.
I mean, if they do something like really silly, crazy with it, like that, I don't know, like...
Where
also
do you go,
battling God, I don't know.
Well,
they get really obscure with it or something, I don't know.
The next movie is going to be Kristoff and Anna talking about, should we have a child? I don't know. I think I should tell Anna I want a child. I want to have a kid.
See, the Frozen wedding... would be like a really good short.
The Frozen
A
Wedding.
fro like a frozen wedding?
The
That would be
Frozen
fun.
Divorce.
Yeah, that's what the third one's about. The third one's about like Kristoff getting all the townspeople to riot or something.
And then he follows a voice, and then she's like, "Yeah, I can't deal with you following this voice. Get a divorce." And then he dies. And thank you.
All right, well, that's it.
So. Wait, so that's an 8 out of 10. Didn't even say 8.5, 7.5, 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. So
It's right up there with Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile. It's on par.
It's so I would say go see it. I think it's worth a watch. If you really like the first Frozen, I'd obviously see it. Here's the thing, yeah. If you weren't overly crazy about the original Frozen, or if you sour actually, if the original Frozen was a movie that you really liked and you kind of soured on it over time for whatever reason, I think you actually might like this movie. If you didn't like the original Frozen when you first saw it, you won't get anything out of this movie.
Sure.
And if you love Frozen, you still love it, yeah, go see it. I mean, what are you doing
yeah.
in your life?
And if you want to see how Kristoff and Anna's relationship pans out, you're dying to see more, you have to see this movie.
You have to see it.
It's to die for. All right.
It's great.
Thank you.
It's gonna be great.
Yes. Thanks.
So long.
All right.